This is a National Arts Center podcast. Find more great NAC podcasts on the performing arts at nacpodcast.ca or search on National Arts Center on iTunes and subscribe for free.
Welcome, Ryan. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
I've really enjoyed listening to your music, but for those listeners who may be unfamiliar with your work, could you describe for us your style of music?
No, I can't. that's a trick question, I think, because I write all kinds of different music, and I think even within a single piece of music, I'm usually very intentionally trying to draw together two very distinct styles of music or devices from unrelated types of music. And it's always a trick question.
Cool.
When I get this one. So, but I can say at the core of my music, especially my music that it is like on the Sunlux recordings, for example, my albums, mm-hmm. at the core of it is an experimentation of just a little bit kind of what I described, which is finding a quizzical and sort of magical union between unrelated parts.
Okay.
And usually what that means for me is exploring the possibility of one type of sound mixed with another type of sound you really would never expect. And this is something that hip hop taught me, this collagist approach to music production.
Okay.
But I also do this in my chamber music as well, in different ways, always trying to find like two little pieces, or hopefully a lot of different little pieces, who on their own feel one way, and in the context of the whole family feel another way entirely.
Wow, cool. We can talk more about your style later, but you mentioned hip hop, so I was mm-hmm. I'm very curious about your influences, like your musical background, how things started for you.
Yeah. Well, I actually started. I really only formally studied music in the classical tradition.
Okay.
So it was a family rule, you know, you gotta take piano, start when you're six, and then, like you had to play through through middle school, okay. at which point, you know, you could decide, if it was something you wanted to keep doing.
Okay.
And for me, I was the only one of my siblings. I'm one of three. I was the only one who was like, oh, heck yes. Like, I have to keep doing this. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's not because I enjoyed the piano at all. I actually completely hated piano lessons. even through my very last piano lesson in school, I hated it. and I had amazing piano teachers, so it wasn't mm-hmm. their fault. But what was really the hook for me was I realized I could make my own music.
Right.
I could change what was on the page. I could start from something that wasn't even on the page, you know? Mm-hmm. And as I started pursuing that, I immediately my parents found some amazing teachers for me. And one of them was a student of Bernstein.
Okay.
A guy who's based in Atlanta, and he introduced me to music that I had until that point, and this was in high school, and he introduced me to music that at that point in my life I hadn't appreciated.
Okay.
I knew about it.
Like what?
Like basically like pop music.
Okay.
Jazz, like all kinds of music. Like I was on the path of like this, like I was quickly becoming that like snobby little
classically trained.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Trained, yeah.
You know? And, he was like, no, yeah, you can be that, but you also should be this.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, I learned like piano transcriptions of West Side Story, autographed by Bernstein, underneath a poster of Led Zeppelin and next to a poster of Kurt Cobain, like, you know, crowd surfing, you know? So that was like the beginning of something really special for me, which was the appreciating the coexistence of ideas, which on their surface feel unrelated.
Right.
And from there, it's just, you know, a Technicolor array of music hit me in the face. And I started to, you know, learn. I started to get jealous of all kinds of little things I would hear in all kinds of different music.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So, and obviously this evolved past acoustical instruments. You dabble in the electronic and what some people have called the post-rock alternative, right?
Yep.
Yeah. How did that start?
Yeah. So actually that began really as a totally, I was in a band in college.
Okay.
And we just needed to figure out how to record, to make a record that wasn't going to cost us a fortune.
Of course, yeah.
I've actually never formally studied music synthesis or electronic music at all, which
I
is
find
funny
that surprising.
Well, yeah, I mean, because most people think of me as an electronic musician.
Yeah.
Or a lot of people do. I mean, there's not really good terminology yet for the terminology hasn't caught up with the rate of technological development.
Okay.
It's no one's fault. It's just that there just aren't really semantics to accommodate like what is actually happening in the world right now of music and music technology. So I didn't actually study music technology, but what I did do is because I was a comp major and composition major. And I needed a really good computer to run notation software, without exploding making my computer explode. my parents invested in a nice computer for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to my band, I was like, well, I use a sequencer for MIDI for, you know, making my fancy pants scores and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What if I just figure out how to do that, like with the audio features of the software, and we like just kind of make it happen. Like I'll just figure it out. And so that's where it began. I just started making music with a computer, figuring out how to like harness audio that sometimes was coming from outside.
Okay.
From outside sources.
So you're talking about sampling, right?
Yeah. And then it basically, I wound up in order to actually harness like the different elements from the different band members, I actually wound up like having to like sample them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned, and then I began that like collagist approach to production that is really intuitive in the digital environment.
Mm. It's really fascinating.
So that's it just kind of started because I needed to record my band, my funk band.
And it's incredible because, you know, you talked about classical music and you had to learn an instrument, and sometimes that's equated with, you know, you mentioned the word snobbery of that classical music, but I really appreciate as a musician, your music is just music to you, it seems. It doesn't matter
what
the traditions are, that going forward everything is music and that it all has meaning.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, and then that's really what I'm that's actually a really good articulation. I haven't haven't really thought of it as simply as the, as you've just put it, but it's actually a really good good summation.
So I did a little more reading up on you, and you have a lot of collaborations you did with dance companies. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so this beautiful mechanical piece, we've been playing with it for a couple of weeks now, and we love it. It's a lot of fun. We're always catching each other in the hall in between rehearsals, one of us singing or humming our motives. Exactly, yeah. And it just grooves along. It's really catchy, and everybody's having a great time.
Yeah.
And you can't help but move and dance to it. Is this something that's an element in a lot of your music? I know it's not always in some of your more ethereal electronic music I've heard. It's, of course, you're going to have slower tempi, with this, it's really got a lot of movement and rhythm.
Well, it's cool. I mean, you know what? I actually don't really know. I know from experience that a lot of people who don't know that I write music for dance, who are dancers themselves or choreographers, are very often coming to me, asking if they can use my music or commission me for something, having no like understanding of, yeah, no, this is something I do all the time. I've written, you know, lots of music for dance over the years. Mm-hmm. My wife is a dancer and choreographer.
Oh, wow.
And she's the one who got me into writing music, for dance, because I was writing for her back in college. Super duper long time ago now, actually. So, so she helped not only get me into it, but also as we've been married now for, we've been together now for 15 years. And, like most of our friends are dancers or musicians, you know, so constantly surrounded by dance and wound up, like I said, writing a lot of music for dance. This piece, actually, Beautiful Mechanical, was actually a co-commission by, a chamber ensemble called Y Music. Mm-hmm. Based here in New York, dear friends of mine, and Gibney Dance, based in New York, it's a modern dance company. They basically sort of like, we all were like, you know, we all scratched each other's backs, basically.
Right.
Like, let's come up with this thing together, you know?
That's cool.
So Beautiful Mechanical is actually the first movement in a piece in a longer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I've never actually recorded the other parts, the other movements, because I also purposefully designed the first movement to feel like a standalone piece.
Okay.
I think it works as such.
Oh yeah, it works great. And, I think.
Yeah. So definitely, I wrote it for movement, but I would have to clarify and say that if I didn't write it for movement, it would still be exactly what it is.
Right. You know? Okay.
I wouldn't have done. I mean, that piece was an act of improvisation for me. I hadn't written a piece of explicitly chamber music in a really long time before that.
Okay.
And what happened was members of Y Music who are familiar with my Sun Lux material were really drawn to the way that I was harnessing chamber music. Chamber instruments and the grain, the texture and grain, the particular texture and grain of chamber instruments into my music.
Okay.
In unpredictable ways, but in ways that highlighted them rather than like sort of like put them in a role that was, you know, like let's hide them in the mix kind of things, but rather featuring them and so it was that aspect of my music that they were like, I bet this guy would write us a really cool piece of music. And then as they did their research, they realized that, oh, I am, you know, a composer, quote unquote. And, you know, I'm studying, I know what I'm doing. And, but I hadn't done, you know, working for dance, you're always on a budget, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And, so I hadn't done an explicitly chamber music piece until in a long time, until they asked me to do this piece. So I was super excited. I was so excited that I wrote the piece in 2 days. I wrote it in actually 1 day, and then the second day was like my revision day.
You know? That's quite uncommon for composition. I hear most of the time for audiences that, you know, writing a piece of music can take weeks sometimes or months.
Oh yeah, no, it definitely does. Yeah. It can take years.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I definitely have those too. But I think it was just like such a, there was something about the energy of this opportunity. I loved these guys. These musicians were amazing. They were very open-minded about music and I felt a kinship with them in that way, that they thought, like you said, that music is music, you know? Mm-hmm. And they were that kind of, they were that breed of musician. And I was really excited to do this, obviously. And so it was just the energy of that excitement that just like blasted out, you know, like really quickly. And so that sort of stream of consciousness approach to writing is actually quite unlike me. Usually rather meticulous and constantly doing and undoing and doing and undoing.
Okay. The instrumentation, obviously it was set by Y Music because they're an ensemble that features a string trio, violin, viola, cello, and then three winds, trumpet, right. flute, clarinet.
Yep.
What was there something particularly attractive about that for you? And I know by the very notion that you composed this in one day tells me that it wasn't difficult to write for them because you obviously felt it right away.
But
was there anything really interesting that you wanted to exploit from any of these instruments? Not exploit, but enhance or bring out.
You know, it was more actually the personality of the players, to be honest.
Okay.
And kind of knowing some of them, I just like it was really fun to just imagine not so much those instruments, but those people playing those parts.
Cool.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know, I could picture the face. I could, you know, just like it was just the kind of. Yeah, it was just, you know, that kind of like, I'm writing this for friends and I'm like, when I think of this person, what is the kind of like rhythmic motif I think of, you know? And, you know, Beautiful Mechanical, the way it develops is sort of an amalgamation of intertwining like rhythmic ostinati, basically. Mm-hmm. That's how it kind of unravels. It sort of feels like a game. To me, it feels like a game that someone starts and then six people wind up playing together.
Yeah.
But they're kind of all playing with their own strategy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, everybody, and people will find out on Saturday, but it, for me, from my perspective, every instrument at the beginning, the first section, everyone has an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fair to say that you incorporate some of your looping processes from your electronic music into this kind of acoustic setting.
Yep, that's right.
So it's really interesting to hear the identities and how they morph and change. For us, it's a lot of fun, and I hope the audience can appreciate that too. I'm sure they will. It's such a fun
and
piece.
What's fantastic about live music too is, you know, you can visually, for those who can see, you can visually focus in on individual players.
Yeah,
and I think this is the kind of piece that really. It works on the recording, but I think it really comes alive in real life because the independence of each instrument at any given time is clearly seen. Mm-hmm. Like when you can, you know, because the cumulative texture is like, can be a little bit, you know, it's a little bit complex and intertwined. Mm-hmm, but then when you can focus in and you see the flute and you're like, you can like watch it and you're like, oh wow, she's totally like doing something. She's not even repeating in the same cycle that everyone else is, or, you know, that kind of
thing. It's a really cool effect.
And it's, I think it's fun. It's fun visually as a result.
Yeah. Great. So what other things can we expect from you in the future? Any projects on the horizon that we can all keep our eyes open for?
Absolutely. I'm finishing a new record.
Okay.
It's definitely new territory for Sunlux. It's also kind of quintessential Sunlux as well. So I think it's got a good balance. It has some amazing performances on it as well. And I think that this record, more so than my other records, has a stronger performative content, you know? And the age of making music where the texture or the color of the sound is itself the creative idea, it's important to balance that incredible asset, that incredible ability in recorded music and music that has electronics as part of its process, with genuine human performance. And I think that this record does that more successfully than I've been able to do in the past, I think.
Well, I'll definitely look forward to it. I'm sure everyone else will. And I have to say, it's quite poetic that you talk about the harmony and the synthesis of electronic with acoustic in the same way that I hear in your music the synthesis of genres. So
yeah, cool. Thank you.
No, thank you for all your work and all your music, and we look forward to hearing more. And we're looking forward to Saturday. So
thanks. I know. I wish I could be there.
Us too. Thanks for doing this. It was great to chat with you and to talk.
Thank you. Great to meet you.
This has been a National Arts Center podcast produced in Ottawa by NAC New Media. Send us your comments and questions. Email us at nacpodcasts@gmail.com. Visit the podcast section of the iTunes store, where you can rate and comment on this podcast. We love to hear from you. Remember, you can find more great NAC podcasts at nacpodcast.ca. Or search on National Arts Center on iTunes and subscribe for free. Until next time, goodbye from Canada's National Arts Center.